Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thanks so much for joining us this evening. We've got a great show planned for you. We're going to be bringing it to you all the way from sunny South Florida. I want to go ahead and first take this opportunity to thank all of you all that supported the benefit concert from Miss Diana Booker on last week. I believe it was last week. Yes, it was. I was the MC at the program, and many of you I did not get an opportunity to see personally, but I just want to go ahead and thank you for being there, for participating, and for supporting the program. It was very well attended. A number of people were there, and I do appreciate all the support that you've given Ms. Booker. We were able to raise funds for her that were pretty good. So I thank all of you all for that, and I'm sure she does as well. If she comes on at the top of the hour, we'll give her an opportunity also to speak to that. So once again, I want to just thank all of you all, and good evening. We've got the show planned for you tonight that's going to be a very, very good show, and I am certainly looking forward to it, and without further delay, because it's going to be a good one tonight, let me go ahead and bring in my co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake, author of Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement. Ms. Blake, good evening, and welcome to the show.
Hello, Dr. Walker. Hopefully you all are warmer than we are here in Atlanta.
Wow, the weather is still cold out there?
Oh, it's a bit frigid. It's definitely in the 50s here.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is interesting. I don't know what's going on with the weather. Is April, is this unusual for that type of climate in April, mid-April?
It definitely is, but apparently it's happening in several places. So I guess amidst all my complaining, I'm thankful for another day of life and another chance to enjoy the show and talk to our callers and listeners.
Okay. Great. Once again, Ms. Audrey Blake is the author of Falling in Love with Me. She's also a certified life coach. And if you want to just tell them a little bit about that, Ms. Blake, and go ahead and how they can reach you, email, phone, and et cetera, and then we'll get ready for
Sure, and I'll try to keep it brief. I am the author of two books, two e-books and one hardcover, Falling in Love with Me, which is about self-esteem and finding the love you deserve, basically. It's a nice compliment to your book, Dr. Walker, which is After the Passion, Now What? What a great book. And also, I'm a life coach. So to find out more about me or services, you can go to fosteringleaders.org, or you can give me a call at 770-866-2162. And, Dr. Walker, if I may just briefly, there is a huge conference happening here in Atlanta on May 3rd, the evening of May 3rd. It's called a Black Networking Conference. So anybody interested in finding out more information about that can contact me as well, or they can Google Black Network Conference in Atlanta, and it should pop up.
Okay, that sounds real good. I appreciate that, and it sounds like it's something that's going to really be that sounds really marketable and gives you an opportunity that if you want to get out there, you can certainly meet people. That it sounds real good. Is it a 2-day event, 3-day event, or a 1-day event?
It's just an evening. It's just an evening. I think it starts at about 5. Several speakers are going to be there. I am one of the speakers, as well as Trinity 5-7, the gospel group, will be performing. And it's just an opportunity to come to Atlanta, enjoy our city, and do some networking with other business and entrepreneurs, minorities. So it's not limited to blacks at all, but it's just called a Black Networking Conference.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. All right, we're getting ready to get right on. Thank you for that, Ms. Blake. And I want to go ahead and say that any of you all that are out there that you've got a business, service, or product, and you want to come on the show and you want to air or talk about it, we will certainly give you that opportunity to do so. So please keep that in mind, and we welcome you for that. We're going to go into the show just momentarily, in just a moment. So one of the things that I also want to be able to say is, I want to ask you a question about the Black Networking Conference, and that is, is this the first annual?
It's the first time it's been held here in Atlanta. It has been held in Dallas, Texas, several times. So it's a well-known conference in Texas, and now they're bringing it to Atlanta. I was just going to say, if you go to my website, fosterleaders.org, and put your contact information in, I can send anybody VIP codes to get a discount. Or you can just give me a call again at 770-866-2162.
Okay. All right. Is there a charge for the conference?
There is a charge. I believe it's like, it's under $100. And getting my conference discount code will cut the cost for you. And it's being held at the Georgia International Conference Center near the airport.
Okay, that sounds real great. That sounds great. All right, let me go ahead and get ready with tonight's story. Are you ready and excited as I am?
Yes, very excited. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Let's go ahead and get this show on the road. Now, I know my producers had it up here somewhere. Here it is. Okay, thank you all for joining us tonight. For the record, the show, of course, does not have all the answers, but together with your help, I can assure you we will find some answers that may prove beneficial to your relationship. The story, tonight's characters are Edith and Frank. Once again, tonight's characters are Edith and Frank. Now, it was the summer of 2007 when Edith and Frank first met on the beach on a warm day, a lovely beach where they would visit annually to simply be reminded of the feeling of love they experienced when their eyes first met for the very first time. Edith is 26 and Frank is 28, and both work as professionals. Now, the couple enjoyed a loving relationship that ultimately turned into a wonderful marriage that lasted for a little over 5 years, ending abruptly due to what appeared to may simply have been foolish pride on the part of both of them. Their union brought two lovely girls. This is Edith and Frank now, a couple who met in the summer of 2007 when they first laid eyes on each other. I mean, they were inseparable, and they both work as professionals. She's 26, he's 28. They enjoyed a loving relationship that ultimately turned into a wonderful marriage that lasted for a little over 5 years and ended abruptly due to what seemed to be foolish pride on the part of both of them. Now, their union brought two lovely girls that were the joy of their parents' heart, tender ages of 3 and 4. It's been a little over a year since their divorce, and Frank has since moved on to another relationship where he is now engaged to someone else, insisting he can't handle being alone. So he lives with his fiancée, whom he met just 6 months after his divorce with Edith. Now, Edith, on the other hand, remains a single mother with support from Frank, including visitations and countless time that he spends with the girls at his new place. Now, Edith spends a great deal of her lonely periods missing him so much until it is clearly taking a toll on her health, as she finds it difficult to stay in a positive frame of mind because of the now defunct love between them. It is no surprise to Frank. It is no surprise that Frank still loves her very much, but feels it may be for the best interest of the both of them to have divorced. Although he is engaged with his new relationship and fiance, and is actually, in fact, scheduled to be married within 6 months, his heart is very much still with Edith and his girls. This has turned out to be an unfortunate dilemma for Edith and Frank because of the ties of their love for each other that bind. They're both faced with the challenge of mending broken hearts. Now, tonight we start the question off with, should Edith and Frank mend their broken hearts simply by getting remarried? Please don't go away. There's more to come right now, live on the Dr. Jesse Walk Show with, of course, our topic for the evening. How do you really mend a broken heart? Right here, right now. Ms. Blake, let me start with you. Should Edith and Frank mend their broken heart simply by getting remarried?
Not simply by getting remarried, no. But I do believe that they should. It's kind of a no-brainer for me. I think that they should pay attention to these feelings that they still have for each other. And I think that they should pursue trying to see what a relationship would be like. I don't think he needs to move forward in the marriage with his fiance at all.
Okay, so you don't think that they should go ahead and remarry?
I don't think they may eventually remarry, but I don't think they should just jump and remarry. I think they should maybe start trying to pursue a relationship again.
But now, remember, he's engaged now. So what about the lady he's engaged to, and he's living with her?
I get that, and hearts will be broken, but I don't mean to sound tough, but in the end, it's death, because if he gets in that marriage loving somebody else, I know people who've done that, and they either end up cheating or are miserable for the rest of their lives.
Oh, wow. Well, but, you know, you think about the pride or something that caused them to split up in the first place. Now, I mean, here it could be that something happens that brings them, and they decide to go ahead and get married again and ignore what it was that brought them to this point. And then it becomes worse. Then, I mean, what woman would want to take him back now if he breaks up with her? He's breaking her heart. So somewhere along the way, somebody is going to be heartbroken.
That's true. Unfortunately, it really is true. And those are tough decisions. But I think it takes a real strong person to say, look, to the fiancé to say, look, I think you're a wonderful person, but I'm just not ready for this commitment right now. I strongly believe that.
Okay, so even though he's engaged with this other person, he's already divorced from his, I mean, why not just start fresh and find somebody else altogether, both, you know, him and Edith?
Because the feelings are still there, and love is a very strong attraction. I don't think it's just that simple.
Okay, it is said that love is the strongest force in the universe. And, you know, I tend to agree with that. I really do. Love is a powerful piece, and it's not easy to shake that. Wow. So you think perhaps Frank needs to man up and tell his fiance, whom he's living with, that, you know what, I'm not ready for that commitment, and I still need to purge from, you know, being married to my ex-wife now.
Definitely, because it sounds like the love is still there. And, you know, oftentimes you find that marriages end over things that really could have been resolved. And you said it ended abruptly. So they may not have taken the time that they should have taken before that marriage ended to see if they could have fixed it.
Okay. I certainly agree with that. I mean, especially when you hear how this story started out, where this couple was, I mean, just crazy about each other and had a great marriage for 5 years and then let pride get in the way and destroy that. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Wark Show, 347-857-1769. If you want to get involved in the conversation, simply call us on that number and press 1. We would love to hear from you and hear your thoughts. And also you can certainly send, your comments into the studio, and we will do our very best to try to get to it. Ms. Blake, you mentioned earlier that you know quite a few people that have experienced situations or similar circumstances like that of Frank and Edith. How did things work out for them?
Well, some of them just live with the regret. I mean, some of them have stayed in the marriages, but it depends on what kind of quality do you want for a marriage? I mean, that's a question that I think individuals have to ask themselves. Some people have stayed in marriages and just cheated and had affairs. Others have stayed in it and just been miserable. So I just think to avoid that, it's probably best to deal with those feelings head on.
I see. Well, what about those who claim to be spiritual individuals or religious people that may come and say, well, you know what, he's married, he's engaged to this woman, he's made a commitment, some type of covenant with her, he's made a promise to her. What about those that come along and say that, and then he's already divorced that one wife, why would he break this lady's heart now? What about those people that might be thinking along those lines?
I always tell people, I say this in my book, it's better to break an engagement than to get in a marriage that you shouldn't be in. And yes, it may be painful to both parties, but again, it's an engagement, it's not a marriage. And so he's recognizing something early on, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the laws of karma? You know, what goes around comes around. If he's going to do this to me, then, I mean, when one person has your emotions tied up into you, and he's been with this girl and he's scheduled to be married in 6 months, that sounds serious. And even though, yeah, his heart is still with Edith, he still loves this woman. But he's got this what seems like an obligation to this other woman. It's not going to be an easy thing, because I agree with you. I agree wholeheartedly with you, and I think that if he does go on in this case and gets married, he's going to always be thinking about Edith, and then vice versa. Edith could be experiencing the same thing. And what happens is, the unfortunate thing is, once he does this, then the other woman is going to know that she's shortchanged in some way or another.
Right.
I mean, she's going to really realize that.
Yeah, as that other, the fiance, she deserves to have all of his love. And he can't give that if he's still in love with someone else. And so that's why I say, I would say to people who come from a Christian point of view, I don't think it's going to be karma or what goes around comes around, because he's actually making a good decision. He's not going into something knowing that he's not totally committed to it. That would be wrong to do that.
Right. Okay, so then,
in my opinion.
Ms. Blake, if I hear you, right. So if I hear you correctly, we're going to go to the phone lines in a moment. If I hear you correctly, so if you're dating someone, even up to getting to the point of being married, because we've done a show on this one before, and I mean, you actually, you're dating someone, okay, and you get all the way up to the point where you realize, you know what, I've been dating this lady now for 2 years, and I really can't seem to get over my ex. Wow, and all of a sudden now you see your ex in the store, and you start communicating, and this is in chapter 1 of my book, in fact, when Bob meets Sally. I think that's the story title. So you start hanging out again, and now this woman that you've dated for 2 years, or vice versa, a woman dating a man for 2 years, and she runs across her ex, then, you know, because you're not married, but even if you're living together, I mean, do you just go there and say, well, look, sweetie, I just got to tell you this. I ran across my ex, and this is the first chapter of my book. And I mean, and it's interesting. you got to get, people have got to get the book to see how it turns out. But so
right,
are you telling
right.
me that as long as they have not gone the route of holy matrimony, that is fair game?
I do believe that. And that's not to say that I don't think that engagements are to be taken seriously. They are. But, again, I looked at the whole circumstance. The fact that Edith, I believe is her name, that, you know, she's still in love with him, and he still is in love with her, it sounds like. Now, if it was not balanced, if it was only Edith who was pining away and couldn't get past it, and Frank had moved on, I would have a different opinion. But it sounds like they both still have deep feelings for each other. And if they can do that and work it out, and the fact that they have children together is a plus, I say go for it.
Yeah, but even though he has moved on, but he has not married, but he's just going to be there. We're going to ask you to hold that thought just for a second. We're going to go to the phone line. We're going to go to 863-412. Thank you. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Thank you so very much for joining us. Who do we have with us?
Yeah, Dennis with you this evening.
Dennis, thank you for joining us. Dennis, help us make some sense out of this. You know, tonight's topic, of course, is what we presented. And, you know, how do you really mend a broken heart? What do you think is going on with Frank and Edith?
There's still love and emotions and feelings that are there. I think Frank tried to put it aside, but, you know, running into an ex, you know, can bring back up some things if it, you know, like the story said, it ended abruptly, and when things are not finished, in any type of situation, people want to try to finish it or make sense of it. And even though he tried to move on with somebody else, still hard if you still have some feelings that are out there. It you know, let's see, there's a thing called a heartstring, and when that heartstring gets pulled, it tugs on the heart, and people get confused or they get emotional again, and I think that's what happened.
Okay, all right. We've got a show coming up, Dennis, pretty soon, and the topic is, before you commit to marriage, should you visit your ex-relationship? What do you think of that topic?
That's a heavy topic. Some people can handle it, but there's some people that could not handle that.
Okay, so
rather,
if I'm hearing,
rather
you,
leave it alone.
I mean, it's best to leave it alone. But in this case, like with Edith and Frank, here they are. They're both still in love with each other, but he's with another woman. And, I mean, it could be vice versa as well. So the question really becomes, I mean, it's almost like what you're saying for an upcoming show. Before you commit to marriage, should you visit your ex, you know, or one of your ex that you still, and I guess it should go on to say, that you may still have feelings for?
If you still got feelings out there, yes, you should visit that situation because just like your cold hole said, it's better not to go through with it than to go ahead and tie the knot and still have and then that will cause another problem if these feelings come back up at a later time.
All right. So with your short answer to tonight's that first opening question, should Edith and Frank simply make amends and just remarry? Should they do that? Your short answer to that?
Get counseling and relook at the situation.
All right. And what about the woman that he's engaged to? What would you say to her, if anything?
That she needs to be patient because if Frank is not really there, it's going to hurt her in the long run. Hurt her work
okay.
in the long run.
All right. We're going to go to the phone lines again. We're going to ask you, Dennis, thank you for your comment. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to 954-226. Thank you. Who do we have with us?
Hi, Dr. Walker. It's Rose.
Rose, thanks for joining us this evening. Rose, what do you think? I mean, you can speak to the issue of anything that's been presented, and I also want to open up with another question that I'm going to also open up with our audience tonight as well, And that question is another part of the question from the story. Should Edith forget about Frank since he is engaged with someone else, which has shattered her dreams? Should she forget about him?
That's a little bit hard. If she is so much in love with him, still, if they're totally still in love with each other, I believe they owe it to themselves and to the kids and to see where it can go. Of course, I would not say to jump right back into it and remarry because there was a reason that they broke up. So therefore, I would say it's worth going through the counseling and taking the time that they might need to see if they can rekindle what they had. You know, work out and work through whatever it is that caused them to break up in the first place. And when they do that and they still want to get back together, then, you know, once they go through the counseling and they work through this and they see that they worked it out and they can forgive each other and they can really get back and move forward, I would say yes. The lady that he's engaged to, I think she would count herself or should count herself lucky for him ending that relationship with her, because she would only be miserable if they end up getting married and his heart is someplace else. She would totally feel that, and she would realize she does not have him. And that would be too frustrating to her, and eventually that marriage would go sour also. So I think although she might be hurt in a way, you know, for him letting her know that he's going to go back to see what can happen with he and his ex, and I think she should just move on and get help for the hurt, but, you know, consider it in her best interest, because she wouldn't want to be with someone whose heart is someplace else.
Rose, we appreciate those comments, but let me ask you this question. Ms. Blake mentioned it earlier. She knows a number of people that have experienced situations that are very similar to this, and so do I. When you think about it, there are probably, I haven't done a survey on it, but I am certain that at least perhaps 25% of the people in relationships or in marriages have probably some feelings that are still there with their ex that they never really purged from. If you're saying this here, let's just say, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I agree with you about the lady that he's engaged to, since they didn't go that far. But what about the people who've even gotten married and encountering this same thing? What do you tell those people? Because it's the same. The emotions are the same whether you're engaged to somebody. The emotions are the same. This is just my opinion, of course, are the same as if you're married to someone. If you still have your heart somewhere else, your heart is there. And it just doesn't change things. So what do you say to those people who are married?
Well, I look at it a little bit different when they're married, because now you're committed to the person you're married to, and therefore you owe it to that person to work things out. Therefore, I think that you should try to work that out. Now, what you need to do is to get over whoever it is that's holding your heart somehow. Try to get over that person. If it means going through counseling to get over that person, I believe that you need to do that, because now you're married. Being engaged, you know, to me it's a little different, or totally different. You didn't commit to marriage as yet. You didn't take those vows as yet. Therefore, it's better, in my opinion, to break it off if you know at that point that you're in love with someone else, and not truly in love with the person that you're about to get married to, even if it's the day of the wedding. I think you owe it to yourself and to the person to be honest and break it off. If that person will hurt, but eventually get over it. But if you've already committed to marriage to someone, then I think you need to really look back and realize that, hey, you know what? You broke up with that person for a reason, and you need to get on with your life and find a way to work through those emotions, get counseling, and get over whatever it is you think you still feel for that person.
Ms. Blake, let me go to you and ask this question. When is a promise not a promise? I mean, when is it, I mean, a promise is a promise. So when is it not a promise? I mean, if I promise to marry you at some point, like in 6 months in Frank's case, or I'm already married, but my heart is still somewhere else in both situations, what's the difference? If I'm married, my heart is still somewhere else. So when is a promise not a promise?
I mean, it always is a promise, but that, I agree with Rose. It's kind of two different situations when you're engaged versus you already are married. You know, if you find yourself in that situation and you're married, I think you
have- You went away. I couldn't hear you. Okay, Dennis, we got a little technical difficulty here. Dennis, let me go to you and ask, when is a promise not a promise? You know, I mean, here it is. If a man is in love with, or the woman is in love with another man and he's dating someone, Frank has been with this girl for 6 months, and another 6 months will make it a year, which now there, you know, there's an intent to get married. But he preaches on that and says, you know what, if that's what we're seeing tonight, he's going to breach on that. That's breaking somebody's heart. That's breaking a promise. I mean, what's the difference? The marriage is before, we say it's before God because it was a ceremony, but he's living with this woman. They're still consummating. They're having intercourse. So what is the difference besides that paper that holds them legal by statutes?
That's where the fallible man falls apart. He's putting, a law into his own hands and doing things on his own. Biblically, you know, that is not, say, a marriage, because, you know, a marriage says what God puts together, let no man put asunder. When it says no man, that's even the people that are in the marriage are in it, right? So when is a promise not a promise, or when is that promise broken? Even if you say in 6 months we're going to get married, it is a commitment to, but it's things that you're working toward. If you really wanted to get married, you get married right now. You don't have to wait 6 months. So you're working toward it, and if things aren't worked out, it's over. You know, you can walk away from it. But once you make that commitment, sign on the dotted line, you made a commitment that you're supposed to keep up with.
Okay,
just because you live with somebody.
Go ahead. And we all know that just because you even get married and you sign that piece of paper, you know, which might make you feel a little bit more obligated and committed, but that is absolutely, with today's statistics on divorce, 55% and greater, we all know that that is not true either. That just because you sign that piece of paper, that's not a guarantee that you're going to stay.
Correct.
So, again, when is the pump? That's a breach right there. That somebody decided, you know what? I changed my mind. I don't want to be married anymore. I just don't want to be married anymore. And then they go after their heart's desire or whatever it is. You know, so, I mean, does Edith, let me ask this question, and I'm going to ask the same question of Rose. Does Edith have any guarantee that if Frank does come back to her, that it's going to work out? And then if it doesn't, wouldn't Frank have lost perhaps now both women? Because that fiance is highly unlikely not going to take him back. What do you think, Rose?
I suppose there's a chance that they're both taken. Is it worth it? Now, they have to decide whether that Edith and Frank have to decide if the risk is worth it. Is it worth giving up this person he's engaged to go after his ex to figure out if it's going to work? Now, that depends on how much of his heart is entangled with Edith. Now, if he feels like his heart is there and he just, nothing else matters, then, hey, he's going to say, I'm going to take the risk regardless. And if I lose that, then I lose. Okay? If he is so much in love with her and really want this badly enough, he's not going to care much about the outcome if it doesn't go his way. He's going to put everything into the risk that he's going to take and hope for the best. And if it doesn't work out, then, hey, he lost. That's just a risk he takes.
That is very – that's interesting. He took the chance. So if I'm hearing correctly, I believe Rosa's saying it's better to just go ahead and try it to see if it's there. But, my God, Dennis, being a man, would you say – I mean, let's just say if this were your circumstance, you or Frank was a relative of yours, and now he's got a good woman in his fiancée, which has made him decide to propose to her in the first place. And there was a reason why him and Edith broke up. Now, do you take that risk and go back to what you knew you had versus what you don't know what you're going to really have until you really spend some time with it? Is it? And I agree with Rose. Is it? The question becomes, is it worth it? Is it worth it? But then there's a risk of if it doesn't work out, you losing a good woman. As a man, what would you advise Frank if you were a relative of yours?
I would advise him to think very deeply, very long, pray hard about it, talk to himself, try to help him understand what he may give up by trying to go back to Edith and lose his fiance now. If he's a good talker, he might be able to talk to his fiance and say, let me make sure that what I'm doing with you making sure that I'm finished with Edith before we make a commitment, because I don't want to have any regrets and I wouldn't want to hurt you any deeper or any more. But there's a confusion that came. I mean, he has to be a good salesman to get that across. But it's a decision that is very deeply, that has come from very deeply from within.
Right.
Dr. Walker, can
right.
you hear me?
Yes, now I can, Ms. Blake. I was just about to see if you were still there.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree with the advice that Dennis just gave. It's really helping his fiance to understand why he has to do this.
Right, so to speak openly with his fiance and let her know, I mean, should she really wait for him to see if it's going to work out or not? I mean...
That's a decision she will have to make.
Yeah, but who would want to... Go ahead.
And that's a risk that he is going to take. You know, if he makes that decision to try to pursue it, I think Rose said that's something that he will risk. So,
right.
Again, but, people are adults and they have choices, and she can choose to wait around or she can choose to move on.
Right. Now, the thing is, though, but if he knows that she's waiting, if he knows that she's waiting, then it makes it a slight disadvantage to Edith, because Frank could be in a position where there's tug of war. Even though his heart leans towards Edith, there is still the notion that there was a reason why we split up. And I'll try it. I could try it again. But the fact of the matter is, my gosh, she gets on my nerves. I'm going to, because I know that my fiance is waiting over here, or my ex-fiance, whatever you want to call it, but someone is still waiting for me, I'm not going to lose both women. I'm going to play both women more than likely because I know I got somebody waiting. What do you think about that? And I want to direct something to Rose as well about the children. And I think I heard you say, Ms. Blake, about the children as well. I mean, should children be part of the decision-making process when they grow up and they pursue their own lives anyway? Let's start with you first.
No. I mentioned the children that it would just be a plus if they could get back together. Because they
right.
do have children, but I definitely uh-huh. am never a proponent of getting together just for the sake of the children. I'm one
I
of those
agree.
Persons that are strongly against that.
Okay, I agree with that. Roseanne, help us to clarify what you meant by, having the children there. They should reconsider because of the children, or just help us understand that.
I know. I didn't mean that they should reconsider because of the children. I'm saying if Frank and Edith really think that they belong together or that their hearts are tugging at each other and they want to give it another chance, the kids are just one factor. At least they know they already have kids together. But that's not really the reason why they would get back together. That's just maybe icing on the cake. Hey, we already have these kids. You know, I don't have to go start someplace else. We still love each other. If we can work through this, through counseling, and it will work out, then, you know, let's try it.
Okay. I think that that's a good point also. All right, let's take some of the comments that have come in. I thank all of you all so much for what you have contributed to tonight's story. Let's start with some of the comments, and we have several of them that have come in. This male writes in, how do you really mend the broken heart? He says, I don't really think anyone can heal or mend your broken heart, just as in the case with Edith and Frank. It's just a matter of time to go through it. Maybe each time you will get stronger. As for Edith and Frank, I think that they probably should just go ahead and try it, as some of your participants have said tonight. That's my opinion, and that's what I think. Well, what do you think about that, Rose? They're saying that that's their opinion. They should try it. What do you think?
I agree.
Okay. Dennis, let me go to you. Do you think that this person who sent in this comment is on task?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it should give it a try, yes.
All right. Let's take another comment. Ms. Blake, we'll direct this one to you. She says, how do you really mend a broken heart? Heart, that's the hardest question in the world, it seems to be asked. I think the best thing you can do to mend your broken heart is to give yourself enough time to deal with the situation and try to get therapy from the right person. Okay, there's two things in here that I'm hearing. She says, give yourself time, and then she says, give yourself and get therapy from the right person. So the time and getting the right person, help us as a life coach. What is she really saying here?
I think those are two critical steps that you do. Everything does take time. So give yourself time, but also you get a life coach or a therapist or both to help you work through that so that you use that time to your advantage.
All right. Dennis, let me send this one at you. And this male writes in, when it comes to mending a broken heart, you know, there's a song, of course, that's out there about how do you mend a broken heart with Al Green. And he continues by saying, I remember when I was going through a seriously hard time and trying to get over a broken relationship, which I was really in love at the time. The only thing that really helped me was taking the problems off myself and trying to concentrate on helping someone else with any type of problem they may have been having or taking on additional projects. This really helped me get through in terms of mending my heart. Dennis, what do you think? I mean, of course, each person is different, and this has helped this guy out. But do you think that this might be the norm for people who are going through something?
No, that's usually not the norm. But if you help someone in a worse situation than yours, then your situation doesn't look so bad.
But are you sweeping it under the rug by trying to compartmentalize, and then later, a year later, when you never really dealt with the situation, couldn't it come back to haunt you? Because that pile that you swept up under now becomes, you know, you can see the imbalance in that rug that you swept it up under.
What I was going to finish with that comment is helping somebody else does kind of help you because you try to work through yours, but in the meantime, you know, you good food, you know, for a man, good food, a good kind woman, somebody's gonna listen, have a little bending ear, you know, that changes your thoughts. When I say change your thoughts, it takes your mind off of all these bad things. You know, do some things that are enjoyable. You know, find a friend that you could talk with, spend time with without getting emotionally involved.
Okay.
Sometimes there's friends that you can talk to that are that are truly a friend, not right. Another lover, not a, let's say, a friend with benefits.
Right, right, right. I agree with you, Dennis. I think the worst thing, and if I hear you correctly, I think the, and this, of course, is my opinion, just as everyone is presenting here, I think one of the worst things that a person can do is to become emotionally involved or involved, in fact, at all with someone when they are going through something. Rose, let me just ask you this question here. Do you think that that caller is pretty much on track, or would you have anything in terms of what Dennis has said to make sure that you don't get involved?
For the caller, the comment that just came in about helping someone else in order to get over your pain, now I believe it's a good thing to take it off of you, because when you help someone else, you're not hurting as badly. You're helping, and you're putting your energy there. However, I think you have to be very mindful that although you're not going through the pain, you still have to make sure you get help, okay? Because when you're through with your projects later on, that's still going to come back. It's not going to disappear until you deal with it. However, helping out in order to kind of minimize it at the time is, I could see, is a good idea. Just don't mistake that for healing.
I think that everybody is on point. Ms. Blake, do you agree with that? That you're going to have to deal with the demons somewhere along the way. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely, yeah. And what the gentleman described was simply a coping mechanism. I've kind of used it myself. But you do have to deal with the issue sooner or later.
Okay, all right. We'll take another comment that's come in, and Ms. Blake, we'll direct this one right at you. A female writes in, I thought the answer at one point in my life in terms of mending a broken heart was to get quickly involved into another relationship after my heartbreak from my husband. Boy, was I wrong. It looks like I went from bad to worse in terms of inheriting someone else's multiple issues. I now believe that mending a broken heart has to do with connecting to your spiritual life and enriching that. In the long run, this is what helped me make any sense of what was really happening to me. I am much better now, and I know one day I will be blessed with the right relationship. Now, she's saying she went from bad to worse because she quickly got involved with somebody else. So what was her mistake there? And then to connect with her spiritual side, what was the importance of that from your perspective?
Well, you know, I talk about it in my book. I say that you have to give yourself some space. It's never good to jump into a new relationship. I've done it myself, so I learned the hard way that it's a bad thing to do. It's not a great thing to do. And you tend to repeat your mistakes. And so in connecting to her spiritual life was excellent. She's right on point because she's able to then kind of see some discernment of what her patterns might have been, choices.
All right, let's go to Dennis. Dennis, let's ask you, what do you think? Do you think that because she got too quickly involved with somebody else, she went from bad to worse, she didn't get a chance to see, to evaluate what it is that she really wants from a relationship?
Right. Not only that, she may not even understand why her last relationship failed, and now she's gone into another relationship and is failing. So, you know, you need to step back and take a look. You know, sometimes you need to step back and take a look at things that are going on, you know, even within self. Why are her relationships failing? Sometimes women and men, they seem to always pick the same type of person. If, you know, a wife beater, a woman picks a wife beater and then gets out of that and seems to get right to another one that does the same thing. Or a woman who gets a man who runs out on her and gets rid of him and finds another one that does the same thing. So we need to sometimes step back and look at ourselves and you know, work it from there, not just jump right into another relationship.
Okay. All right. We appreciate those comments. Let me direct one at Rose. Let's go back to the story for a second with Edith and Frank. And let me ask this question, and maybe I'll get around to everyone here. We got about 4 minutes before I want to go into the food for thought tonight. Is the heart, Rose, in your opinion, is the heart so difficult to really mend? And if so, what makes the heart so difficult?
Let's see if I can answer that question. I mean, you should have an opinion on that. Is the heart so difficult to mend? I think it depends on how deeply you love. Now, if you love very deeply, if you're with someone that you love, you know, so deeply, I think it would be difficult when you're hurt by that person. And I believe even with all the counseling, time is a factor there. You need that time. So jumping into a new relationship in order to get over the old one is the worst thing anyone could do. Temporarily, it will feel as if it was fixed, but in the long run, it's not, because someone else is going to get hurt. Okay, so I think the best thing anyone could do for themselves after leaving one relationship is to give themselves enough time and work through the healing process and get the person before you move on to someone else.
All right. David, what do you think? I mean, is the heart so difficult to really mend? If so, why?
Because a heart is full of emotions, and it is not when you start getting involved and you're getting things tied up, it is hard to just sometimes drop it. A heart is made of flesh, and flesh can get cut or get hurt, and it takes a while for it to heal.
That's a very good point. Ms. Blake, what do you, I mean, how do you mend a broken heart, Ms. Blake? Just give us two thoughts, and I may ask all of you all that. How do you mend a broken heart? Is it possible?
Time and prayer.
Time and prayer. Those are your thoughts. Dennis, how do you mend a broken heart? I mean.
I don't know. I'm working on that.
Oh, you are? Rose, did you have a comment on how to mend a broken heart?
I would agree with this, Blake. Time, prayer, and counseling, I would add.
Yeah, I think that those are certainly, I mean, I don't think that you all said anything that I can add to. Time for sure, prayer, and some counseling, you know, and having a close friend. You know, one preferably that there's no interest in, and I'll give some thoughts in my food for thought. But just before we get to the food for thought, we've got about another minute. Just before we do that, let me go here and let's take this final comment. Ms. Blake, let me give you a shot at this final comment that's into the studio this evening and see what this, let me see what they're writing in here. All right, here we go. This female writes in. She says, I am still devastated after 5 years of leaving my fiancé over something stupid. He tried desperately to get me back, but I was so stubborn at the time and filled with so much pride until it didn't dawn on me how much I really loved him until he had moved on with someone else. I guess the water in the well, right? Here it is now, some 5 years later, and I have yet to get over him. He now has a wife and family and does not even look my way. Do you have any advice for me to help finally mend my broken heart? Ms. Blake, you got anything for her?
Yeah, one, I suggest you read my book, Falling in Love with Me, because you're going to have to move on, as painful as it can be. And it's not simple, but she is going to have, this is one of those instances where I would encourage the lady to move on, to look forward to the future. Let go of the past. It's done. You can't undo it at this point.
Wow. On that note, we are clearly out of time. I want to thank the callers that were able to dialogue with us this evening, and those of you all that we weren't able to get to, we're going to ask that you continue to stay with us just be patient with us. We had a good dialogue with the individuals that we communicated with this evening. I want to go ahead and also thank my co-host, Ms. Blake, and for joining us this week and each and every week for being on the air with us. And I'm going to ask if all my listeners would at this time stand by as we bring the show to a close with my closing thoughts. Now, as always, the opinions that are expressed from my guests or other participants do not necessarily reflect the opinions that are expressed from this host. Furthermore, the opinions expressed here and throughout tonight's program are merely those of my own and have been those of my own, and like those of my guests and co-hosts and other participants. Now, tonight's dialogue should not be perceived as a replacement or substitute for the appropriate license, certified, or professional help in the appropriate field. The information, as always, that is presented is for educational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Now, when it comes to tonight's topic, how do you really mend a broken heart? Several weeks ago, in fact, March 25th, we did a show on Should You Be With the One Who Holds Your Heart? And in 2010, we did a show on How to Mend a Broken Heart as well. And you can look at this as part two. And, of course, you can certainly visit the archives to hear that show or any one of those shows and listen to my comments and the food for thought as well. Now, to indeed simplify, a great response to such a question would be, when at all possible, I think it is ideal to be with the one who holds your heart. Unfortunately, this does not always turn out to be the case. When it comes to tonight's topic on the question of how do you really mend a broken heart, can anyone really answer this question to another's satisfaction? Perhaps yes, or perhaps not. I personally think this becomes a subjective question for each individual based on his or her own experiences. With that thought in mind, with that thought, I do believe there are things one may consider in doing to actually minimize the pain or hurt of a broken heart. And I think that some of our callers tonight mentioned about how we can possibly minimize things, but it is definitely not going to fix it. But these are just some of the few thoughts that I have. One, the very first thing I think is so important is that you recognize that time is not your enemy, but should be embraced as a best friend to learn patience and helps to build character in anticipation to evaluate your situation to ensure you don't fall into a similar circumstance. And number two, furthermore, I think it is important to seek professional counseling, coaching, or some form of therapy for the purpose of assisting you in understanding yourself and lead you into making a better choice for your future. Now, number three, have a close family member tied in, preferably someone who neither of you have any emotional or romantic interest now or any consideration for the future. Number four, become actively involved in your church or consider joining a community group or establish a community project to work on. Number five, look inwardly at your gifts and consider helping others who may benefit from your talents, gifts, or expertise. And that was also presented here this evening as Dennis spoke about that. Number six, establish a hobby. Start a reading group or even a reading club. Number seven, get out of the house and do things or stuff. Don't ever sit around feeling so sorry for yourself. Instead, find a way to reach within and keep moving forward. Number eight, and I say finally, I would say be sure to take very good daily care of yourself. Not just take care of yourself, but take daily care of yourself. Because, after all, you want to be at your best for yourself, family, and for the new relationship you will ultimately gravitate towards. Question is that I leave with you this evening. Is the thought of holding on or waiting for someone who has clearly moved on with his or her life causing you heartache and further pain really worth the strain and stress of aging in this time frame which we call life? You might want to seriously think about this one. In the meantime, I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and that's simply been my opinion. Now, I trust you've enjoyed the show tonight as much as I did, and please tune in this Friday and every Friday from 7 to 7.30 p.m. Eastern Time for your half-hour inspirational program. Of course, if you choose to bypass Friday's inspirational program, please remember to tune in next Tuesday when our topic will be, should age make a difference in dating or marriage? Once again, should age make a difference in dating or marriage? Please tune in because you really don't want to miss this show. Remember, you must be 18 or older to do so. Until Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.